And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. And the servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. Now, we all know this story, and we also know that Saul was the tallest person, and he was the biggest person in all of Israel. He was the king, and Saul was the one that should have went up against Goliath. But nobody was. They was all scared to death in fear. And David come from the field. He came from the sheep. He was watching. He came from the farm. And he came up, and he said, Is there not a cause? Why are we sitting there listening to him defy God? And David also knew that he didn't slay that bear, and he didn't slay that lion. It was God who did it through him. So, with that as a background, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 30. You got to understand that where David's coming from. He's anointed king of Israel by Samuel at an early age, in his teenage years. He leaves the farm and he goes and plays the harp for Saul in the king's palace. And you got to think about what David's thinking. David's going, man, I've been anointed king of Israel. And all of a sudden, the next couple of weeks, I'm here playing the harp for the king. Everything that God promised me is coming true. I'm already in the king's palace. And not soon after that, he left and went back to tending the sheep. And he's way back out in the middle of nowhere again. And then he's sent to the front to give his brothers lunch by his fathers and see what's going on. And he gets to the valley there, and he sees that everybody's scared to death of this one giant. And he says, it's not our cause. And he goes to Saul, and he tells the story about him, the bear, and the lion that we just read. So he goes up against Goliath, and he kills him. I think that's one of the reasons that God chose David over all of his brothers. His brothers was big. They were made for war. And David was this little guy that didn't know nothing. But his heart was after God. And that's where our heart needs to be if we're going to win any victories, because our heart needs to be after God, because it's God who gives us the victory, as we just sang, Victory in Jesus. Oh. Then Saul gets jealous. He goes after David. David has to flee. He even joins the wrong army. See, David was a soldier. He knew what he was supposed to be doing. But he was in the wrong army because he couldn't fight for Israel because Saul was after him. So he goes and fights for the Philistines. And he's just as good a soldier as for the Philistines as he is for Israel. But then they come up against Israel, and all the princes of the Philistines says, Hey, what are these Hebrews doing? We can't fight against Israel with all these Hebrews with us. So the king sends him home. He comes home to Ziklag, and that's where we're going to start in chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives, and they were therein, They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Anam and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was great leave distress, for the people spake astonishing. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. What do you think he thought about? Here, everything that he thought was going to happen in his life has been turned upside down. He's running from Saul. He thinks Saul's going to kill him one day. He's done nothing wrong. He had fought in the wrong army. They didn't want him. Israel don't want him. They take him. He goes back home and everybody is gone. The people that were following him are mad at him. They're thinking about stoning him. You know, I talked about a while ago that it's great to be in the house of God around other Christians that can lift you up. And that's what that verse was saying. You know, coming today, there's going to be a bad things happening to us. And we need to be around each other to lift us up. Yeah, you know, it's great to be an encouragement. That's why Barnabas was so good. Because he walked around and he encouraged everybody. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. But here there was nobody to encourage David. Pastor Brothers taught me on one thing, that their leadership's lonely. And out at the farm, we would make different people leaders. Because like you said, when you become a leader, you become just like the boss. Well, once you become a leader, you understand that you do have to be a boss. And you do have to tell people to do right. You do have to tell people, hey, you're slacking off. Let's do this. See, being a leader is kind of lonely. Because before you make somebody a leader and they're in the pack, they're friends with everybody. And now that person's a leader and they're not friends with anybody anymore. That was a great thing about that place out there, being at the farm. You know, David come from the farm. David come from the farm because he knew that you had to tend to them sheep. Them sheep couldn't do anything for themselves. He had to be the protector of the sheep. That's why he was a great shepherd, because he started at the farm. You got to worry about and tend to your flock. But David didn't have anybody to encourage him. His family was gone. His people were thinking about stoning him. It was a real hard time for David. But David thought about this one thing. I believe that he looked back at his childhood when he was at that farm. He looked back at that bear and that lion, and he knew that God got him through that. He looked back at Goliath. Did you know that David kept the spear and the shield of Goliath? I believe he kept it because he went over there in the corner of his house every once in a while and said, you know what, God got me through that. Yeah. And we need to understand that when we're going through trials of our life, that it's God who gets us through them.
Amen.
In fact, Paul would say in Romans 5:3-4, not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You know what he was saying? That God's got me through every trial I've ever been in. Since I've been saved, that I have a Savior that never leaves me nor forsakes me. He carries me no matter what's happening in my life. And that's what we need to be as Christians. We need to understand that God's with us, and no matter what we're going through. And I know there's great trials in everybody's lives. And sometimes we think that we're the only person going through trials, but we're not. All of us are going through trials. All of us are going through battles. Some greater than others. We need to know that God's with us. But we also need to understand that while it's great to have somebody that'll call on you or talk to you or pray for you or pat you on the back and say everything's going to be all right, that sometimes they're not going to be people like that. There's not going to be times when you're going to have anybody to say, hey, we've got you. It's okay. Because it's not okay sometimes. There's not going to be those people. So we need to be like David. We need to be able to encourage ourselves from the Lord. When everything seems to be going away, that it's all's lost. Most people would have said, I'm going to give up. I quit. David inquired in the Lord. In verse 8 it says, David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. What if David would not have, what if he just gave up? What if he said all is lost and he got down and he got depressed and said, I'll just quit. I'm not doing this anymore. He never would have been king of Israel. He never would have seen all the things that he saw in his life. They probably would have stoned him. If they wouldn't have stoned him, then he'd just all left and he'd been alone. You know, most people quit. Most people stop and they say, you know what, it's all gone. There's no hope. We're going to quit. There's hope in Jesus.
Yeah.
There's hope in God. God loves us. He gave us His Son. How much shall He give us all things through Him? My favorite psalm is Psalm 27. You know what it says at the end? I don't know when David wrote this psalm, but it might have been when he was running, maybe in a cave when he was running from Saul. It might have been when he was king and he was looking back at his life. I don't know when he wrote it, but I know how he felt sometimes. He said, I had fainted. Verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, it didn't say, I had fainted unless I knew that I was going to heaven and see God someday and everything was going to be great in heaven. He said, I would have fainted unless I see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What God promised him was going to happen. He believed that. It says, wait on the Lord. My Bible says, wait means wait in faith. You know, the people that were fixing to stone him, they didn't have any faith. They had lost faith in everything. The only faith they had in him was David, their leader, and all of a sudden he's messed up and everything's wrong. So we can't have faith in him anymore. Everything's not right. But he inquired upon God, and God says, go after him, you're going to find him. You're going to catch them, and everything's going to be okay. If we had that faith in God, that in times of our trouble that we would call upon Him and we not listen to what anybody else is saying to us, but we listen to what God's saying, how great our life would be. You know, Paul would, before he went to Jerusalem, had all these people telling him not to go to Jerusalem, not to go to Jerusalem, not to go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit says that you're going to be bound by the same girdle, and he had his girdle, he had his belt. And Paul says, I don't care if I do die. I'm going to Jerusalem. How great our life would be if we had that faith. Paul was probably tired. Paul had been beaten, shipwrecked. He was tired. Stoned. He saw a glimpse of heaven. And he said, you know what? I'm ready to be with Jesus. That's all I want to know. In fact, that's what he said. All I want to know is to know Him. I want to feel His resurrection power, and I want to go through His feel His fellowship of His sufferings. How great our life would be if that was our attitude. Because I don't know about y'all, but I'm a person of pleasure. I like things that are nice. I don't want to go through any trials. I don't want to go through any storms of my life. I'm a creature of comfort, and we all are. But the 14th verse of Psalm 27 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait in faith. What God promised, He cannot lie. He cannot lie. And if He's promised you something, if you don't quit, you're going to find that promise. David, the greatest thing about David that I think of is before he did anything, he inquired upon God, shall I go up? Shall I go up? So I'll do this. Most of the time they talk about Moses striking the rock the second time instead of speaking to it. Most of us would strike that rock too, because that's what we've always done. The last time we was here at the same place, not the same place, but in the same problem, he told me to strike the rock. I'm mad, I'm striking the rock. But he told him to speak to the rock. If we would just do what God wants us to do, instead of what everybody else thinks about us, if we worry about what God knows and what God has told us to do. You know, when I quit my job and I came up to the village, nobody wanted me there. In fact, they all told me I was crazy, that I needed to go home. I didn't talk to my family. I didn't even pick up my phone to call anybody because I knew what they was going to say. In fact, when I finally did pick up the phone and call them, that's what some of them said. I did great, and some of them said, you're crazy. What kind of cult are you in? Get home. Why did you quit your job? And all these other things. If I would have listened to them, I would have just kept on going. And I wouldn't have been here. And I'll tell you what, it was hard. It was hard. I quit with a job that was the best thing in my life, I thought at the time. That I was getting all the things that Satan had stole from me back. And everybody in the world was happy because I was getting all those things back and I was working and I wasn't drinking and drugging anymore. So everybody was glad. But God saw something else down the road. God wanted something better for my life. And it didn't matter what those people said. Still don't matter what those people said. You know, most of those people are not serving God anymore. Most of them ain't even going to church anymore. I'm so thankful that what God promised me, He's going to do. Because He cannot lie. God is faithful. We're not faithful sometimes, but God is. God's faithful. And whatever He's promised you, He is going to fulfill that promise if you don't quit, if you don't give up. I am so glad that I have this book. So when I say, Lord, I need something, that I can open this book and He gives me something. I'm so thankful for that. You know, I don't have an ephod, but I have a Bible. And I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when I call on the Lord, He's there to hold my hand. He's there to pull me up out of that. He pulled me up out of that pit that I dug for myself. No other person loves us more than Jesus. And He's not going to put us anything through anything that we can't handle.
Amen.
I didn't know what to preach on. I wanted to preach on Jehoshaphat. I love that story. Because Jehoshaphat inquired upon God. They went out. They sent the singers forth. And there was 3 days picking up the spoil. Because God went through there. Got all the enemies to fight against each other. And then what was left fled away. Israel didn't even have to do anything but send forth the singers. I thought that was pretty. Come on. I hate it when you can't think of a word. I thought it was pretty fitting, since y'all was going to come and sing and play, that would be a great story. Because we send forth the singers and then God does all the work. David didn't have any singers to send forth. And if there was people there that sang, they wasn't singing, they was crying. In fact, they wept until they couldn't weep anymore. They didn't have any more tears. They were so sad. But think about this. Has anybody threatened to stone you in your life? I've been in bad situations, but nobody threatened to kill me because of what I was doing. You know what? There's a lot of people that thought I should have died for what I was doing before I got saved. But God looked down and said, you're precious. And if God thinks we're precious in our horrible state before we get saved, how much precious, more precious do you think He thinks of us after we get saved? In fact, He calls us His sons. I don't know about you, but people in my family, I wanted to kill sometimes, thinking, not literally, but sometimes I thought about hurting them real bad, but I really didn't. In fact, I thought I hated my brother, but what I really did is I hated his sin. And the first thing I did when I got saved is I started praying for my family. Amen. You know what? I don't want anybody in my family to die and go to hell.
Amen.
I don't want anybody to die in my family. In fact, I want them blessed. I want my family blessed. You know what? God wants us blessed. So God will take care of us no matter what. If we don't give up. If we don't faint. If we believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, God promised me some stuff. Some of the things He's promised me He's already fulfilled, and some things He hasn't. But I know this one thing. And if I don't give up, if I keep going, trust me, I mess up every day. Pastor talking about we don't live in sin. We don't practice sin, but we mess up every day.
Amen.
But if we don't give up, and if we don't quit, and we keep looking for God's guidance in our lives, and we do what God wants us to do, He's going to take care of us no matter what. No matter if we're the only person in the desert, He could bring water out of a rock. He could bring manna from the sky. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. So, we need to wait on God sometimes, but really God's waiting on us. David was anointed king of Israel when he was 30 years old. God fulfilled the promise that He promised David. But David messed up in his life also. But he never let go of the hand of God.
Amen.
And if we don't let go of the hand of God, and if there's nobody to encourage us, that we encourage ourselves and looking back at what God's done in our own lives since we've been saved, that He's gotten us through this mess, and He's gotten us through this mess, and He's gotten us through this mess, He'll get us through this mess. If we just hold on to His hand. Bear with me. Ephesians 6, you all know, is a thing about warfare in the latter part of it. In verse 10 it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Not ours. There's a place in the Bible where it says that we are just, Jacob, you are a worm. But I'm going to give you teeth that you could eat this mountain up. That you could thrust this mountain. That's pretty good contrast. Yeah, I was thinking about that when you said that kid held that worm up. Think about a worm. I mean, you could hold it too tight trying to put it on a hook and just cut it in two. But He says, you are a worm, but I'm going to give you teeth that you could thresh a mountain. That's God's power in our lives. And He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what? Our fight ain't with man. I look at politics and it's so sickening. But you got to understand that we're not fighting against the Democrats. We're not fighting against the Republicans. We're not fighting against the political party. We're fighting against the wiles of the devil. We're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. And can I tell you something? Washington is full of spiritual wickedness in high places. But we need to be strong in the Lord. You know, that's the thing, the Capital Connection blessed me so, and I'm still blessed by it. And every once in a while I'll play that thing on my phone, and tears will almost come down my eyes, or they'll come down my eyes, and I'll pray for this country. I love this country, but this country didn't save me. And I don't know about y'all, but you've got to look at it in a different viewpoint. Sometimes you got to look at it in God's eyes. And God doesn't like this country. He loves this country, but He doesn't like this country. He doesn't like that we're teaching kids that they can be any sex they want to. He doesn't like that we're filling them up with drugs because we don't want them we want them to behave. So instead of talking to them and getting into their lives, we just give them drugs so they can just settle there and slobber. We've killed 60 million babies. But we'll say that we want God to bless America. You know what? God does want to bless America. He does want to bless each and every person's life. He gave His Son for us, for America and for this world. He gave His Son for us. But it's up to us to do some stuff too. There's a lot of things coming down the pike that we probably don't understand yet. we look at the disciples and say, how do they not understand that Jesus is going to raise the third day? The Bible says it was hid from them. It's easy to understand that once you read it and you also know all the story. But there's some stuff hid from us too. There's some stuff coming down the road that we're not prepared for. But we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We need to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because we wrestle against spiritual wickedness. I don't know if you've ever had a situation in your life like David did, where it looked like everything God promised you was not going to happen. That everybody was mad at you. That nobody cared about what you thought or what God thought. They understood what they knew. If you've ever been in that situation, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to inquire upon God, and you want to know what God wants you to do, not what anybody else does. Because if God tells you to go up against them, then you need to go up against them. If God tells you to wait, you need to wait. You need to trust God. We talk about having faith, and we talk about, well, there's so many people giving up the ministry. It's because they don't have too much faith. Where was his faith when he gave up that church? He will never see the kingdom of Israel. He'll never be king of Israel like David was. He'll never see his kingdom come because he quit. And so many of us, that's what we want to do. We want to quit when something comes against us. We want to give it up and say, hey, it's not worth it. It's not going to happen. We've all heard the saying that winners never quit. And quitters never win. I want to be like David. I want to see my kingdom come. I want to be king of my kingdom like God has promised me. Now, David messed up, but God never took his kingdom away from him. And we mess up sometimes. But if we don't quit and we don't ever let go of the hand of God, he will show us what he's promised us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you that no matter what happens in our life, that you never leave us nor forsake us. I thank you, Lord, that what you promised, that you will see it to fruition. Lord, that everything that you promised will come true if we don't quit, if we don't let go of your hand, if we stay by you, if we ask you, we inquire about what we should do in our lives, and if you tell us to wait, we wait, and if you tell us to go after, we go after. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that we can meet with other believers, that we could pray for one another, we could lift each other up. Lord, that we could encourage each other in times of need. Lord, I thank you that if nobody's around, we can still encourage ourselves in you. Lord, that we could say, Lord, you got me through this, you got me through that, and you'll get me through this, and I thank you for it. Lord, thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. Give us a great night. Be with everybody driving. Thank you for the singers coming, and Lord, I pray you bless in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until there was no more power to weep. I don't know if you've been there. Sometimes that's where God takes us. Before we'd sing, I Surrender All. 308. Songbook. All to Jesus.